Shalom, this is John Parsons with Hebrew for Christians, and today I want to talk a little bit about telling God your name. Now, some people make it the business of theology to know God's name, and while that's important and indeed necessary, in a sense, God begins by first asking for our name instead. Recall that our father, Jacob, had disguised who he really was in hope of obtaining the blessing. For that, see Genesis 27. Though his duplicity forced him into an exile that lasted until he was finally willing to be honest with himself. And like Jacob, each of us must answer God's question, Mashimcha, what is your name? When we wrestle through this question to face who we really are, we encounter God and find our blessing. That is our true identity. Each of us has to go through the process of being renamed from manipulator, that is Yaakov, to one in whom God rules, or Israel. But note the order. It's only when we tell God our name, that is, own who we really are, that God meets with us face to face. You will not be able to say, I will not let go unless you bless me, until you're willing to tell God your name. Let me add that while telling God your name can be painful and even frightening, it's not the last word about who you really are. We're faced with an inner dualism as we struggle to take account of our lives. On the one hand, we need to confess the truth of our own sinfulness, brokenness, and so on, while on the other, we must endure ourselves and find faith that God's blessing nevertheless belongs to us despite the mess we've made of our lives. We have to be willing to accept God's new name for us and to believe that God will miraculously transform our inner nature for good. We're renamed from Yaakov to Yisrael, though we still refer to ourselves and know ourselves as both. Jacob was renamed Israel, but afterward he walked with a limp, seeing both the new and old natures wrestle within him. Jacob still struggled, though his struggle was now focused on walking as God's beloved child in this world. The limp was given to help him lean on the Lord for support. Some people may need help learning to endure themselves. Many are able, it seems, to receive the hope that they're forgiven for their past sins, but they're subsequently scandalized by encountering their own inner struggle, and they eventually despair over their ongoing weakness. Tragically, some are even tempted to regard the warfare within the heart as a sign of being devoid of all saving grace. We must remember, however, that there is a real struggle between the desires of the flesh and the desires of the Spirit. Look at Galatians 5:17. We must never move away from simple trust in the message of God's unconditional love demonstrated at the cross. We must never seek to legitimize our place in God's heart. When we walk by the Spirit, we're no longer under the law, which is to say, we no longer need to justify ourselves, but instead trust in God's power to transform us. Just as we're saved by the love of God, so we are changed, and so do we grow. Just as we're justified by faith, so we are sanctified by faith. Righteousness comes from Yeshua. He is the source, the power, from which we derive grace to keep the law, but it is His power and grace. It is His life in us that makes all the difference. He is the only one who has true Torah righteousness. Look at all the great patriarchs of our faith. Consider Avraham Avinu, our father Abraham, or Yitzhak, Isaac, or Yaakov, Jacob, or consider Joseph, Yosef. Consider Moses. Consider all of the great heroes of faith, and you'll see that each one of them had sinned. Yeshua was the only one born without sin and lived without sin and fully satisfied the divine law. He is the source of our righteousness. He is our Torah righteousness before the Father. This is the gospel message. This is the miracle of our faith that God, God Almighty, has made for our sake, Yeshua, to be sin, the one who knew no sin, so that in Him, that prepositional phrase is critical, in Him, we might become the righteousness of God. This is vital. This is the gospel message. The exchange, the divine exchange between Yeshua's life and our own. What I've called on the Hebrew for Christians website, the Korban principle, the life for life principle. This is the essence of the cross, the great exchange that happened. and that Yeshua not only died for our sins, but lives for our life, and that we are embedded within that. We are taken up and unified with his heart, his essence, as he gives himself for us. And through that union, we are made into new creations. We are transformed, not just by faith, but by the power of God. For some scriptural proof text on what I've just said, look at 2 Corinthians 5:21, Romans 1:17, and look especially at Galatians 2:20, where it's written that we are crucified with the Messiah, yet we live. Yet not I, not the former ego life, but the new life lives within me, the Messiah life, which is bound up in his heart and his atonement and his passion for us. That life is now expressed by our faith in the Son of God who gave himself for us. For more information about the message and meaning of the gospel, please see HebrewForChristians.com. So don't give up, friend, please. We struggle, sometimes even with unbelief in our hearts. This is common with Yeshua's disciples, after all. Do you now believe? Yeshua asked them repeatedly. He said when he returns, would he even find faith on the earth? So it's not uncommon to struggle with what we believe and how we believe and how we are to live what we believe and so on and so on. The essence of it, though, is an understanding of who we are, which is another way of saying, what is your name? And knowing that we are safe in the counsel and love of God given in Yeshua, that is, in your new name, the name the Lord gives you, the name Beloved, Blessed One, Accepted One, the Chosen One, the Appreciated One, the Cared For One, and so on. As I said a while ago, the ultimate question is whether you feel safe with the truth of who you really are. When you're all alone in a moment of still silence, when the world around you is asleep and suspended, what's the message of your heart's cry? Are you okay? Do you trust who you are or what's happening to you? Or do you experience anxiety, a sense of lostness, inner pain? Comfort is found in God's grace. His promise is given to the sick at heart, to those who understand their need for a physician. Look at Matthew 9:12. Since there's nothing about you to commend you before God, you are therefore made free to abandon yourself to the divine love. This is the name of the Lord, after all, and your heart's cry for love is the prayer uttered in that name. Your heavenly Father sees in secret, Jesus said in Matthew 6:6. Consider the birds of the air. They are unreflective, alive in the atmosphere of God's care. What a great blessing to let go of your fear. What sweet relief. Surrender to the truth of your helplessness, rejoice that you're poor in spirit, and discover that yours is the kingdom of heaven. Look at Matthew 5:3. So don't give up, friend. You have a new name if you're willing to believe and receive it. God promises to be with you to the very end, leading you to the place where your heart will forever be satisfied in his love. That day's coming soon. Stay strong. May God give you grace and mercy and endurance for these difficult days. May it always be well with you, my friend. In Yeshua's great name, take hold, friend. Shalom.
מודה אני כל בוקר שהחזרת את נשמתי מודה אני על בגד שנחת על גופי שלא יהיה לי קר אתה שומר עליי.
Please note that this lovely music comes from Omer Adam, and this is a song called Modeh Ani. You can find them on Amazon.com. And also, please visit us at HebrewForChristians.com for more about the Jewish roots of the faith, the Jewish holiday cycle, and, of course, learning Hebrew. Shalom, shalom, Chavarim.